Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We could have gotten like 2 plumber's degrees by now, guys, instead of doing this.
You could be 2 plumbers.
You could be 2 plumbers at once.
instead of listening to us right now.
There you go.
Boys here, the internet's number one fake history podcast returns to cover the only other anime that we know about. I am the leader of the Boys of the Hawk, Peter O'Donohue, and recording with me on our 6th anniversary are...
It's Ethan, I'm 6 years old. I'm going to first grade.
I'm James, and I'm going absolutely berserk right now.
Mommy and daddy grew me in a lab to do podcasts.
Jack from Bioshock, he's like 2 years old, the perfect podcaster. So quick little thank you message here, a little housekeeping before we get into it. So in October 2021, Ethan and I were at a little gala, and I rewatched the video when we were talking about the production of the podcast and how we were going. And we were bragging during that gala about 300,000 downloads. And like 19-ish months later, we're sitting on top of 1,082,000 total downloads. So... thank you very much to everybody for listening to the show.
Downloads.
Yeah, it's crazy. It accelerated a lot at a certain point. But yeah, I mean, keep it up. That means that we have to keep our quality high, guys. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we can't let these folks down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, we got to keep the quality up. Anyway, I'm going to talk about anime. I don't know any shit about this. So, so today's episode about Kentaro Miura's, I hope I got his name right, Kentaro Miura's Berserk was requested on Discord by Flohiken and the Schenker, and then voted on by our $9 and up patrons over on patreon.com/theloreboys, where it won against 3 other topics with 40% of the vote. So this was the big
one. What were the
other
3 topics? Can you tell me? Can you tell
Dark
us? Can you tell
Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal, Nier, and Prince of Persia.
Oh. I would have voted for Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal or Prince of Persia, I'm both very interested. Nier, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But
Nier's so, like just weeb shit, dude. Why do I want to hear?
Oh, wait a second. I know about this game because it makes an appearance in Elden Ring with the Guts Sword.
Okay, so when you say this game, you mean this IP?
Or yes, anime, this IP. Yes, or exactly.
Yeah. A lot of Dark Souls artistically is heavily inspired by Berserk. Hidetaka Miyazaki, the director of Dark Souls 1, 3, Bloodborne, and Elden Ring, is a massive fan. Even like some of the runes in Bloodborne that you like inscribe into your skull are like just copy-pasted from Berserk, like straight-up references to this artwork. And it's great. There's a bunch of pictures in here which will be available for patrons on Discord. It's beautiful. But you probably know that if you're listening to a podcast about Berserk. So if I missed your name as well, for the request, people have been talking about Berserk, but there wasn't like a direct request to do it. And I only searched the lore request channel. So I'm sorry if I missed your call out, but like I'm uncredited on 4 Hollywood movies. So just, it could be worse. you can add uncredited Berserk episode to your IMDb if you want.
I'm uncredited on probably 50 video games. So.
Exactly.
Very cool. They don't put player support into games. Very few. There's only a couple cool developers that put our games into stuff.
I mean, I ran departments on movies that they did not credit me on, so it's a little bit different. Are you guys familiar, other than the references in Souls games, are you guys familiar with Berserk at all? Have you seen it? Have you watched it? Are you the meme of the sad song playing over different things? Have you seen that?
My roommate had the big books. He had 6 of them, I think, and he stored them on my bookshelf. That's the limit of my familiarity with Berserk.
Okay. Jibo?
Yeah. Just like culturally, like cultural osmosis. I know about the sword. I didn't know the sad music thing was tied to Berserk. I've probably seen the meme because I've looked at millions of memes, but I don't know.
If you listen to Guts's theme, it'll definitely awaken something in your brain. You've definitely seen it played over, like, some guy dropping food down the stairs or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and also, the entire 1997 anime adaptation is on YouTube at time of writing, which is where I watched it years ago and rewatched parts of it yesterday. So if you're into it, you should check it out. I'm sure it's on Crunchyroll. Shout out to Crunchyroll. Or maybe you own it and you can buy the DVDs. It's ever. It's one of the most famous animes on the planet.
It's also and a manga, Pete.
It was originally Christ. A manga. I'm aware. Okay. But like, the anime is the audiobook of the manga. And you guys know I can't read.
The audio visual book?
I don't think that's what audiobooks are.
Audiobook with no descriptions whatsoever. Just dialogue.
Just dialogue and then also visuals.
And so,
also animation.
As anyone knows who listens to this, we're not like huge anime fans, but I really do like this one, and I do recommend it to people. It's just like One Punch Man and Evangelion. It's just the big ones, right?
Does your audiobook have subtitles?
Yeah.
It's called your audiobook, dude. Yeah. Audiobook with subtitles. It's on Kindle.
Yeah.
Anybody,
you get the subtitled audiobook. And because you can't see the subtitles, it's just in another language.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
In Japanese.
Just listening to Japanese
audiobook.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one warning I would give people if you want to check out the anime, it's fucking rough.
Some parts, right? Like, it's bleak.
No. I mean, like, some parts aren't. It is dark and bleak, and we'll get into that later with the fiction itself. But like, just as like a primer for people who maybe haven't watched it. There are certain parts of the anime that just are not animated. It is a still image with voice actors going like, and then like it'll rotate on screen, but nothing is moving. And the majority of the demons do not move their mouths whatsoever. Like there's primary villains who do not open their mouths when they speak. So cool.
If they're demons, it could be like I'm willing to say lore voice canon. They're like talking in your thoughts kind of thing.
Entirely possible.
Should we try and continue on without opening our mouths?
Sure.
Welcome to the Lore Boys podcast.
I mean, prove that I'm opening my mouth. It's an audio medium.
Oh, true.
It's an audio medium. I also have something covering my camera, so I can't even tell if I'm opening my mouth.
Yeah. Now. And what you guys didn't know, I was ventriloquizing Ethan right there. He didn't even say all of that.
Perfect.
Jamie,
impression.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
No, Jamie, no.
Jamie, I've told you about putting things in my mouth before, okay?
Just like an apple or a beet. Only apples or beets, not things we don't know about.
Just like an apple or a beet. So this was kind of a rumor, and just a couple of real-world things again here. Notoriously, the show was said to have had zero budget, but one source I read said the show had the entire show cost about $4 million to produce in the 90s. For all 25 episodes, which is an average of around $160,000 per episode, right? Mm-hmm. However, the average budget for a 13-episode season of anime at the time was $2 million, which for 13 episodes is $153,000, which is lower. And our goated anime, One Punch Man, is $80,000 per episode. And One Punch Man looks fucking incredible at all unreal. Times. Wow. So I don't know why Berserk looks like shit. It's just crunch, probably, is what I would guess, but yeah.
It could be crunch. It could be just, like, securing the rights. Maybe it's, like, a weird deal there, or, like...
Who knows?
You know, like, you don't know what that $4 million... Like, it's not necessarily all going to production, right? So...
Right. Yeah, someone had the... What's it called whenever you get the government to make your idea yours and nobody else can use it?
Copyright?
Yeah, they had the trademark on moving mouths.
Of course.
So you had to pay extra for that, and you couldn't get it for certain characters.
Copyright. Yeah. The art and the art does still carry the anime. It's absolutely worth watching, but like in some cases, it is just like a slideshow. Every once in a while, like people talking over a sunset, and like nothing is moving for several minutes. It's like okay, that's a bit weird. Yeah. A CG adaptation was also made. I've seen clips of it, and it is on Netflix, as far as I know. Personally. CG anime for me is like war crime levels of bad. Yeah. It's the primary reason I never finished Dorohedoro. And the CG Berserk, I think, in the fandom, it like bled over to my end because I know people who love Berserk. And it's just like, oh yeah, the CG adaptation of Berserk is one of the worst adaptations in anime, basically. Yeah, so notoriously shit.
I'm with Pete in that even the good, even the well done CG animated stuff rubs me the wrong way. Like
I
can recognize it's good, but it's like there's something off about it, and I don't enjoy it so much so that like that Netflix show Blood of Zeus, which like I really enjoyed the you know, the ancient Greece tale and all that, like, but I just could not fucking click with the animation at all. So much like I just had to stop watching it basically. But you posted that clip of the one CG animated scene from Guts versus Zod Berserk 2017.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, is it bad, man? the slow pan on like the fucking fish-eyed like girl or whatever watching the fight, like it's just fucking kill. Yeah.
So far, like as someone who I'm sorry, I didn't watch the, I didn't do my homework.
You didn't do your homework?
Yeah. Is what's good
wine
about
drunk,
this?
Eating curly fries, son of a bitch.
What's good about this? Like people love this series, right? There's gotta be good stuff too.
Yeah. Pete keeps saying anime, and I did make the point of calling it the manga, but like think the manga, the story is what people click with, and like there's none of those production troubles with like the book.
No, I saw a meme of like a dad with his kid. The kid was like, yeah, well, this is one of them. And the kid is like picking out an anime, and he picks up Berserk, and then the dad's like, no, you're not ready for it yet, you're too young, how about you try like My Hero Academia. So I'm assuming it's really sad at the end, or
there's like rape,
I was gonna put in a warning, like even in the anime there are multiple rapes. It's like now in a post Game of Thrones world, I understand why it's popular, because people love dark European fantasy there's like abuse and assault and all this crazy shit. But it's just Japanese Game of Thrones, and the plot does do a really good job of drawing a straight line between a standard European fantasy that eventually these people fight fucking demons, right? Like it all makes sense.
I was gonna make the same comparison for Jamie to Game of Thrones, where like it'd be like if a kid was like went to the movie store and was like wanted to rent something to watch and picked off Game of Thrones, and your dad and the dad was like, you're not ready for this, then we'll pick off Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, hey, like no, you're not ready for all of that, you know?
Right.
And like in Game of Thrones, I guess another analog here is it probably won't be finished, because sadly the primary artist and writer, the guy who created it, Kentaro Miura, died in 2021.
Ooh.
So And George R. R. Martin is old, fat, and has not written a single word in 10 years, let's be real.
Made lots of money.
Longer,
though,
I think.
Yeah. So, how's about a little bit of lore, yes? Now that we got the real world stuff out of the way, got a little bit of primer, talk some shop.
A little beat, that's one of the things that Jamie can put in my mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a muffin. Yeah, like a White Claw or a beet, like a White Claw.
Yeah,
or
I got
a
my beet flavored White Claw.
Ugh. Oh yeah, dude.
Just stained my red teeth. Yeah, exactly.
So
White
humans,
Claw, it turns your piss red. Just White Claw, if you're looking for sponsor deals, let us know.
They're good. Yeah. So humans in Berserk occupy the physical world, also known as the mortal realm, or simply Earth. So we should all be familiar with this. It's as flat as ever in the anime.
Cool, yeah.
This is where all the main characters are from. So there are multiple countries and whatnot that we'll get into here, but the main characters, Guts and Griffith, Casca, Pippin, Corcus, et al. I had to look up these names because I couldn't remember all of them, but there you go.
Corcus. I like Corcus.
I think Corcus is like the guy who's like aggressive towards Guts. He doesn't like him, but then they're friends in the end, sort of thing.
He sounds so goofy, like Corky Romano, though. You know, like I thought he was gonna be more goofy. Okay, he's like the rival. Got it.
I think so. I can't remember. Like I rewatched the chunks of the last three episodes just for like good art inspiration before going into this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a bunch of like interpersonal rivalries with like in the Band of the Hawk is the main mercenary band, which we'll talk about later. And it's, you know, it's a collection of, you know, good of characters that all have to work together for a common goal.
Cool.
Other than the mortal world, other than Earth, there is also the astral world or afterlife and the ideal world, which from what I read seems to be a like conceptual spirit world of like platonic forms, which is definitely something we've kind of like mentioned in the past, but like the platonic idea of forms is a separate thing to like ghosts and whatnot.
So you just go there and all the girls are like, I think it'd be better if we were just friends.
Yeah.
Very platonic.
You can have a platonic relationship with a realm, dude. You don't have to date.
Platonic forms are like in theory, there's the platonic form of beauty. Even though beauty is subjective, there's something that you could point to that would be the purest form of beauty. And that would be the platonic form of beauty. Yeah. And the platonic form of beet white claw would be a perfectly full, frosty, perfect, absolutely spotless.
Got the little beads of condensation on the outside of the can, you know?
Juice. Yes. Yes. There's a perfect everything, which in reality is there. No, beauty's subjective probably, but
this podcast.
I was gonna say, yeah, you go there. You see the Lord voice in the podcasting.
Over the platonic ideal of a podcast, right? Yeah. Three white guys on the internet.
Yeah. And then he comes up with like cool ideas about like justice and like what is the perfect idea of justice? What is right and what is wrong?
Batman.
Yeah. I had to read all that stuff for my psychology degree at one point.
The perfect idea of justice. Batman. Yeah. Vigilante executions. I'm pretty sure that's what Plato was on about.
He doesn't execute anybody, he doesn't kill.
Fair enough. So the main setting of Berserk is the kingdom of. Now, we've done enough fiction here. Do you guys want to guess what the kingdom in a Japanese European fiction is called?
Berserkia.
What is the name? Close.
Europa.
Japan.
It takes place in Japan, England. The entire plot. No, it is called Midland. So Midland, okay. Midgard, Middle Earth, lands between, got things it. Betwixt. Just at this point, take a fucking drink with our robots, Midgard, right, whatever. Here. Hit your beat, White Claw, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So the proper recorded history of Midland goes back about 1,000 years from the time of the manga and anime. I guess the equivalent would probably be like 300 to 500 AD. I couldn't find any dates myself, but like based on the technology level and the politics of the time and of the main continent, Midland, probably like 300 to 500 is just kind of the warring tribes of barbarians, small city states, shit like that. And going back 1,000 years from one of the main events of the game being the Hundred Years' War, kind of gives it that idea. And of course,
how many years?
One of the main events of what game?
Berserk is called the Hundred Year War. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You said game. James like, game earlier too.
I'm sorry,
there's no game,
sorry,
right?
Sorry.
Is it actually like 7 years? Like the real hundred? Like the real Hundred Years War isn't 100 years, right?
I think it was like on and off for like 115 years or something. Yeah, it started in the 1300s, so that's why this is the calendar right here too.
116.
So
good guess. I definitely heard that somewhere.
1337, leap, nice. Baby.
I thought it was much less. Must be something else I'm thinking of.
I thought the 7 years point too, war. And I feel like we looked it up on the podcast 4 years ago. 116 years ago.
Which is actually 4 years, yeah. Exactly.
So history begins with a man who would eventually become known as Supreme King Gaiseric. Not a whole lot is known about him before he was politically important, which is like fairly common among real historical figures, like who are whatever.
Yeah.
This conqueror's parents sort of thing. Prior to his arrival on the scene, the part of the continent that was Midland was just a collection of loose borders that were constantly shifting. So it was just, you know, like some guy had a fiefdom. And then there was like a tribe of barbarians encroaching on it. The entire era is just like collectively referred to as the Age of Warlords.
Cool.
Constant fighting meant the region wasn't particularly stable, leading to multiple famines and plagues, which killed roughly one third of the civilian population. Obviously, there was more death because people are constantly stabbing each other to death with pointy sticks. And at that rate, you'd think they'd have like, you know, maybe mistakenly done something or there's some kind of curse, but it's just, you know, no government, no organization. It's just the libertarians constantly fighting each other and dying of plague.
Dude, speaking of the moving borders or whatever, I was watching one of these like Anthony Bourdain things in Georgia, and apparently like Russia overnight would just like sneak their borders forward. Like, and so like Russia. Yeah. So people would like have like a pasture with like horses in the back. And then they'd wake up in the morning and their horse would be on the other side of the fence because Russia just like moved
them in the night.
And there's stories of like people feeding their cattle through the fence to like keep their cattle alive. Yeah.
Until they can fucking deal with this international diplomacy deal going on here.
Like they put border guards up too. He's like, papiri, just like poking
yeah, in his yard. Milk that cattle through the fence, you fucking
I hope Fed Smoker was going up against the medieval Russians. Rip to a real one.
Oh, yeah.
So like many real world conquerors, such as Oda Nobunaga, the Monopoly guy, and Alexander the Great, not yet King Gaiseric used his army to kind of integrate the people that he was conquered, that he had conquered. So while the original forces that he had seemingly came out of nowhere, they just kind of, he just like kind of shows up on the scene and is ready to go to replace casualties and increase the size of his army. He would always be like, listen, join or die, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Join or die. It's a, most people would join, huh?
I would. I mean, it's just, if Gaiseric shows up, there's a new border in my backyard and I need a passport to feed my pigs, I'm joining the army.
You got it.
Yeah, because at least at that point, you've got like whatever free movement across the border, kind of like they have in the EU.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Where am I here? Sorry. Now. Oh, right. So post conquest, he's taking things over. He is now known as the Skull King at this point in history due to the skull helmet that he wore.
He's always skulking around.
Yes. The Skulk King. Yeah. Now, the first image I have in the chat here, you guys can bring up, again, some of the really, really good art in the manga. He is not wearing a skull helmet, but he does look like Radahn from Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah.
His face is just a void.
Yeah, well, because the manga's in black and white, so the shadows that are particularly harsh are just like full, like all black, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, clearly, yeah.
Yeah, the horse mane, his face, he's lifting up his hand, as almost he's signaling a turn on his horse.
Yeah, he's in the bicycle lane at the very least. Yeah. Genghis Khan uses the bicycle lane.
Yeah, exactly. God damn, yeah. The Mongols honestly never respect the rules of the road. Their horse is constantly blowing past red lights, so you just pass the same guy on horseback every time. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Hate that shit. So after the conquest, Gaiseric set about gathering himself some slaves from all those lands that he'd conquered. And he'd have these people build him a capital in the center of the continent, which became the capital city of Midland. Midland is like straight up named after, it's just like the country in the middle of the continent.
Yeah. And they built this capital in the middle. So Mid-City Midland.
Yeah.
Midville Midland Midland.
Midland. So I'd like to lore boys canonize the idea that he had like a hands across America thing going on, where he just had people from coast to coast hold hands to find the exact center of the continent. And then took the slaves that were in the center there and like put them below the foundation of the tower, like just built it on top of it. Just like a bunch of starving peasants just like standing there waiting for their instructions.
Yeah.
So now that he's taken over and he's built his capital city, now he becomes known as Supreme King Gaiseric. And he got really into, I don't know, all the bad stuff. I mean, the bad stuff from our perspective. But all the cool stuff that you want to be king, that you want to be supreme king for, he got really
all the cool stuff that Simba sang about in the Lion King.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Overtaxation of the poor and a hedonistic lifestyle.
And I just can't wait to be king.
Exactly. Take it from the poor people.
Leading a hedonistic lifestyle.
You got Matthew Broderick is all like he's voicing like the fat lion who's got he's got gout.
Yeah. This is just like old lore boys. We're getting our Disney references in, guys.
Yeah, so. It's been a minute, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, so stories within the scriptures. So like politics proceeds for the next couple of decades here, right? Stories within the scriptures of the Holy See, which is S-E-E, state that at some point Gaiseric had imprisoned a Holy See sage. Say that 10 times fast. In a prison within the city called the Tower of Conviction. This is kind of the base of operations for the Holy See's Inquisitor analog. They're still called Inquisitors, but the Holy See, like, at this point, like, is just, it, like, everything is heavily inspired just by I guess, the same time period of Europe that Game of Thrones is inspired by, right? Yeah. So you've got the Inquisition, you know, going around, taxing going the poor. Around.
Got a bout of Inquisition.
Yeah. So, no. It's like, oh, then, I don't know, my whole household has Catholics. We can't go out this week. yeah. Can't do it.
I'm lousy with them.
But they serve the same purpose and serve the Holy See, which is, of course, the primary religious institution.
I mean, we talked about bad English names, and I don't know, like, this might just be a translation thing when it comes to, like, the English, like, dubs or subs or whatever, that they're like, maybe it's some cool name for it in Japanese, but Midland being, like, kind of like a milquetoast kind of name. But also the Holy See, like the Holy Church. Like, and I know you said it's spelled S-E-E, but it very much sounds like the letter C.
Yeah.
The Holy Christ Church. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Holy Trinity. No, it's a tree.
Yeah. It's got three trees.
Yes.
But you've also got, like, because we talked about it in Paradiso in the third episode of our Dante's Inferno one, or in our Divine Comedy one, where there's, like, the beatific vision is, like, seeing God. So again, he probably read that and then it was mistranslated. Funnily enough, the primary mercenary company that we talked about, the Band of the Hawk, is a mistranslation. In Japanese, it's the Band of the Falcon, which is a reference because he liked Star Wars.
Oh, Millennium Falcon.
And it's just been mistranslated. And now, like, in the dub, it's called the Band of the Hawk, like the one that I recommended people check out on YouTube. It's just like, all right, but they're the same fucking bird, really.
Well, they're not. They're as much as any two birds that aren't the same are the same bird. I'll give you that.
I mean, but like falcon, hawk, eagles, and kites are all they're kind all of the same thing.
Someone's
got to
make them.
Vultures, owls are also all raptors.
Yeah. Someone's got to make them Millennium Falcon or it's a Millennium Hawk and just have, like, you know, the Jurassic Park crappy flute.
Oh,
thing
the recorder?
The recorder.
Recorder memes. Always get me.
The 20th Century Fox one. Oh my god.
The Titanic one is also good.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jurassic Park.
I have a recorder.
No,
we can do this, guys. Honestly,
you have a recorder. Oh my god.
I have a recorder. Yeah, we can probably.
Oh, I remember.
This.
Yeah. Okay.
Get it after the break and try and do our theme song. Do it. So one of the inquisitors that encounters the main characters in the manga is named Mozgus, and he's the guy who tells the story of the Holy See sage that's being tortured in the Tower of Conviction.
Okay.
The sage had been imprisoned due to preaching against Gaiseric's opulence. He's just like, look, you know, it's like you took over and you just made things worse, frankly. Like sometimes I'd wake up and there was a new border in my backyard, but now you're starving people to death, getting fat and drunk off of other people's wealth, right?
Yeah.
So he prayed
not even
for
letting them milk their cow through the fence.
No.
Yeah.
So he had prayed to capital G God for salvation. So again, same God for the Holy See. His salvation would come when in a single night, some kind of disaster would destroy the entirety of the capital of Midland. The city was buried along with its vices and then sank into the earth. I don't know if the sage ended up being saved, kind of like Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, or if he ended up like a martyr buried under the city. I'm not sure, but regardless, Gaiseric went down with the ship in that case. So I would like you guys to hit the Titanic theme on the recorder for him. Play him out.
Celine Dion.
Yeah. She's unwell. I hope she's okay. I hope she recovers.
She's Quebec's pride and joy.
Yeah. After the disaster, the kingdom would once again kind of break apart into multiple smaller kingdoms, which inevitably led to conflict in the future. The Holy See would then build the Tower of Rebirth on the ruins of the capital, and using its seemingly bottomless basement now as a dungeon to, you know, torture dissidents. The Inquisitors still operated, but like, I don't know if it's Loreboy's canon. I think obviously it was a supernatural destruction, because when you see Tower of Rebirth in the show, like, one guy gets thrown into the pit and just disappears. Like, it is truly like bottomless to a supernatural degree. Griffith, at one point, who is he's one of the lead characters, he's also leader of the Band of the Hawk, he is at one point captured and tortured in the dungeon of the Tower of Rebirth as well. So the characters do get to go there and you can see what it looks like.
Wait, it's a bottomless pit or it's a torture dungeon? It's both.
Both. Yeah, okay. It can be both. Yeah, Porqué no los dos or whatever.
It's a tower with a pit or a tower next to a pit?
It's built on top of the pit. There's a spiral staircase that goes around the walls. At least in the manga, it may be different. In the anime, the staircase goes like corkscrews around the walls, and there's a big pit. In the middle of the pit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then they've burrowed into the walls of the hole, and then that's where they put the prison cells, basically.
Pit is just a tower upside down.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
It's true. It's true, man. It's like, you know, trees, dude, the ground, and then they're growing both ways, man.
Fair enough. Yeah.
They're growing up and they're growing down.
I got to rip my bong on the bricks. And
I saw, speaking of the torture chamber or whatever, I saw a 4chan post that made it to Reddit of someone who made, so this is the idea. It's a room, a box, right, with steel walls, and the whole floor is just a sandpaper treadmill that's going very slowly.
Awful.
And so to stay up, you would have to walk very slowly, but like over days you would become exhausted and fall down and eventually start like sanding your skin as you would hit the wall on the back end. And then you'd get up and you'd like be so exhausted, but yeah, and it would probably take days of getting up and down, but someone would be sanded down to nothing eventually. And that's the mind of 4chan. Yeah.
I'm sure you'd die of exhaustion. I don't know if it would actually like grind you down, because eventually like sandpaper wears out, right?
I think I don't know, man.
You say it's the mind of 4chan, like torture devices throughout history are extremely fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Even just like we might have talked about this on air before, but like oubliettes, which are like this like a type of prison cell.
Yeah, oubliette means forget about it.
Yeah, forget about them.
And it's cute. Et, you know.
Yeah, they're built in two ways. One, which is like a vertical one, where it's like just wide enough for a standing human, but not enough room for you to like crouch or sit.
Oh.
So you just have to like stand up until you die, essentially. And then there's another one which is lying down. So you're just like, you can't stand. And then there's like just rats will just like eat you from the feet up, basically.
The one where they like tie the guy down and they put like a bunch of honey and like they feed him honey and milk or something, and then eventually he starts like throwing up and the bugs devour him.
All very cool.
When I'm stiff, I've always wanted to be put on the rack, which is the stretching one. It seems kind of satisfying at first.
Well, I think they make like inversion tables for that. You can get that without needing to be tortured.
You know? Yeah, but I want to commit crimes against the church, Jamie. Also, it's a two birds scenario. One, I'm a little stiff. Two, I want to commit crimes.
It would be nice to just like be hung from your feet just for a second, just to feel your like spine decompress. But
yeah, there's a dip rack at the gym that I'll just like hang off of when I start. Anyway, Supreme King Gaiseric really should have been called Pullout King Gaiseric. As he left no heirs, male or female, whatsoever following his death, leading to even more conflict, obviously. So either he was shooting blanks or for some reason, I don't know, was just like throwing these lavish parties and then just observing, doing nothing. Or maybe just like chronic whiskey dick, who knows? During the time of the main story, there is a royal family in Midland who claim to be direct descendants of Gaiseric, but there is no proof. It's not confirmed. And again, minor spoilers for Griffith. Griffith is imprisoned for having sex with Princess Charlotte. I haven't read the manga and don't recall it coming up in the anime, but Griffith is apparently imprisoned by the king out of jealousy, because like any good European royals, they were like super into incest.
Yeah.
And on that note, we will move into the Tudor Empire after the break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everybody. And like we said before the break, we're going to get into the Tudor Empire. Now, the name is obviously taken directly from the real House of Tudor.
Are they actually the Tudor Empire? I thought it was just like a parallel.
No. It's straight up called the Tudor Empire. It's just lifted directly. I don't know what it would have been in Japanese if it was different. The English version of it is the Tudor Empire.
I'm not brushed up on my history. What was the Tudor Empire?
The real Tudors are the royal lineage that gave us multiple kings and queens of England, ending with Elizabeth I, and she was replaced by the House of Stuart in 1603. And according to our $20 bill, they've now been replaced by the House of Windsor.
I think Elizabeth I was the last one.
She was the last Tudor.
Yeah.
No, that's what I thought I said. Elizabeth I was the last Tudor.
Oh, you might have, yeah.
Yeah, and then she was replaced by the House of Stuart, which was like James or something like that.
Yeah. Which one was the first Corgi?
I think like Henry VIII was a Tudor, right?
He is, yeah. And, yeah. So. Henry VIII. A lot of very famous kings and queens of England were part of the House of Tudor.
And the rest. Oh, I got a chart here. Henry VIII. Yeah, Elizabeth I. It looks like it's only three generations. So it went Henry VII, Henry VIII, then Elizabeth I.
On Wikipedia, there was quite a few people. I don't remember.
There's a lot in the lineage, but in terms of actual rulers, so like there's a lot of royals in the tree. I'll post you the tree if you want.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, cool. I didn't look into that. There's also a premium cable show called The Tudors, which was on Showcase, which was Canada's version of HBO, and also the home of the Trailer Park Boys. Mm-hmm. This show, I think a censored version of this show, was on CBC at like 9 o'clock, and I was always curious about it. And when I looked up the cast, it's like everyone you would recognize from something now was in The Tudors at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the guy who created it is some kind of machine where he created and wrote The Tudors, and then also wrote and executive produced 89 episodes of Vikings, which is like the first five fucking seasons.
Jesus.
Yeah, the historical fiction machine. And if you haven't seen it, I think it's on Netflix. It is in Canada, at least. The first few seasons of Vikings, I think, are really good. I liked it a lot.
Just a Discord thing. Yesterday, I accidentally posted my burger in animal lore. So now I'm posting my pets into food lore just to balance everything out. And I also wanted to say, guys, I posted another family tree, and it's all the Queen's Corgis. Look at that long lineage of Corgis.
Right?
Holy.
Their pets are like less inbred than the people.
they're very inbred as pets as well.
Did they bury her last two Corgis with her?
I hope not.
Not alive.
Feels like a thing that royalty would do now.
Yeah.
Poor little legs, they can never crawl out of the grave.
Yeah, they have like such good names too. Sugar, Honey, Sherry, Whiskey, Susan, Heather, Buzz, Foxy, Tiny, Pickles, and Tinker. That's so cute.
Pickles and Tinker are very cute.
This woman has owned a league of corgis. Oh my God.
Yeah. She's had so many corgis, man. More corgis. Is one of these named
Windsor Quiz?
Why? Windsor Loyal Subject is one of them. Windsor Quiz is one of them.
Minnie, Emma. You should take one of these names for your cat, Jamie. I think you should name your cat Windsor Quiz. I think that's a fantastic
one. I thought Sweep was cute. Yeah
Sweep, or Sweep is very cute. Yeah, Sweep and Dusty can hang out. You can bring her over.
I'm glad Honey gave birth to Bee. That's
they knew what they were doing.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very cute. Plover.
What even is that?
That's the thing.
So Tudors within Berserk, who's I don't know, we can think of a bunch of corgi names for them later on. The Tudors within Berserk amassed the largest army on the continent and eventually began encroaching on Midland territory. The inciting incident for the Hundred Years' War, which I mentioned earlier, was the conquest of Doldry, a fortress on the border between Midland and Tudor. Prior to it being stolen, Doldry was considered impregnable, just like all of Gaiseric's wives. If you want to bring up...
Pete's like, had that one in the pocket.
I was waiting. Got that landed. You guys can bring up the next spoiler image. Like a lot of stuff, it's definitely a reference to something he liked. The artwork combination of Minas Tirith and Helm's Deep. It is a massive white fortress carved into a mountain.
Cool.
Very reminiscent of, for me, Troy, like the gates of Troy in the Brad Pitt movie.
Yes.
Outside the walls there.
We watched that on a field trip. We also watched Alexander on a field trip. You saw
Brad Pitt's butt on a field trip? Wow.
Dude, cool. I saw Angelina Jolie's tits on a field trip. We watched Alexander for a high school field trip as well.
Yeah.
We went to Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
We took a field trip to the movies.
During the time of the manga and the show, Doldry is ruled by a man named Genin, who is like a fairly standard kind of overweight nobleman, like good character design. I saw the like on the wiki, you know, you can click through like manga, TV show adaptations and see all the different character designs. The panel from the manga is like adapted 99% perfectly into the anime, and it's like so brightly colored, it's wonderful. It's just like the adaptation is, like I said, jank as fuck, but like really, really good. So,
no, I did look up Genin, and he's very his attire looks like the Earthbenders attire from the Earth Kingdom. But he's classic bald nobleman with a big beard. And then there's this one picture talking of Brad Pitt's butt. Of just him next to like some twink, some naked twink, saying that one night, even now I can't forget. He is fine wine.
Why so, show us.
That might be Griffith, actually.
I assume it's like a little blonde boy.
It is, yeah. So Griffith's twinkishness is a plot point, which we're going to get into. But that is Griffith, yeah.
How intoxicating.
What the fuck is this bird you posted?
And that's a plover.
Yeah.
Which
is one of the Corgis. One of the names of the Corgis.
Yeah. Right.
Griffith was the leader of the Band of Mercenaries? He's the Band of the Hawk?
Leader of the Band of the Hawk, yeah.
And he's the one who got in prison for fucking the wife. Was it this king's princess?
No, Genin is not a king. He is the ruler of Doldry, which is taken by the Band of the Hawk. Griffith kills him. But he does use his like thin little boy body. He uses sex as a weapon, basically. He is like ruthlessly ambitious and will do anything.
He's a twink fatale.
Yes.
He's got the he's even got the butt like dimples right above there, like right at the small of his back.
Look, we'd all fuck Griffith. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we're all absolutely on the same page. Yeah.
It's a good contrast, that beautiful Griffith, and then look how ugly this man is. He's got like ripples on the ugly chin.
Frame of him. If you guys want to see what we're talking about, it'll be posted in the for the patrons.
Join Patreon, you can check out the images. Yeah, no, Griffith uses it as a weapon. Like, his ambition is to become a ruler of some kind one day, and like straight up by any means necessary. So he will kill, conquer, and fuck anyone he has to.
Griffith. Not Genin.
Genin probably too, but yes. where am I here? Right. Like the alleged heirs to Midland, the Tudors have their own issues with succession. During the Hundred Year War, the Tudors resorted to infighting, which like drew away parts of their military, weakening the defenses of Doldry, which is what allowed Midland's newly hired mercenary army, the Band of the Hawk, to end up going in and taking it over. It was unguarded, and Genin wanted to fuck Griffith.
Cool. There you go.
Yeah. And then he kills him afterwards.
It was as unguarded as his heart.
Yeah,
exactly. He fell in love with you. Never fall in love with a twink fatale, dude. They'll always break. They'll always break your heart. Right. The other animal-themed regiments of the Midland Army were the White Tiger Knights, the Blue Whale Knights, which at least those are two real animals, the Purple Rhino Knights, and then finally the Amphibious Raid Wild Beast Knights.
Ooh. Wild beast or wildebeest?
Wild beast. It could be a mistranslation. The one that I saw is wild beast. But the also, like, what is an amphibious raid wildebeest?
Purple rhino is apparently a strain of marijuana.
Really?
I just Googled it. I'm getting all weed.
I thought it would be like some kind of aphrodisiac, like the last purple rhino was killed in China in 1906 or whatever.
Purple rhino combines white rhino's skunky aroma with the sweet piney flavors of the perps.
I knew it. Yeah, so I know white rhino and purple kush. So it must be a
okay.
It must be a blend of the two.
Yeah. How loud is it? Is it loud gas? Is that what kids say these days?
I don't say that, but yeah, some people do
it's
say that.
It's bussin', my guy.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah. Here we are talking about an anime from 1997.
I've heard Adam Friedland use loud for weed, but I've never heard it here. I think it's a New York thing, maybe. I don't know, or maybe a young kid thing.
I think it's a TikTok thing. I don't know. I heard it in Hank Trill, who does trap music, doing an impression of Hank Hill, does trap music, and his song Swahili is where I learned the term.
lore of how the kids speak next week. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Ethan, Jamin, Peter, internet boomers. So I'm we'll end our episode today with the Band of the Hawk. We've talked about it. They're the main cast, at least of the first few story arcs, and of course of the anime that is on YouTube. That sort of thing. So the Band of the Hawk is a mercenary company founded by the White Hawk, or White Falcon, depending on the translation, Griffith. He ended up becoming an incredibly talented duelist and leader. He's very inspirational. Like, people love Griffith.
Very talented, sexy guy, too.
Also that, yeah. Guts, the main protagonist, not the secondary protagonist, despite being, like, a very violent and angry man, admires Griffith greatly and, like, looks up to him. He would do almost anything to save Griffith in some instances.
You get a piece of that ass. I get you.
Oh, yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very thinly veiled. He wants to get up in them guts, obviously.
Yeah, right? Get up.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible, terrible sentence. I'm sure there's, like, subtext as to why Griffith is so, like, delicate and, like, manipulative and breedable, but I'm not really sure what is going on, but, like, anyway, the band came together over time and brought together the main cast of the 1997 anime, some of which I've mentioned before, but I'll give the rest of the kind of main voiced characters, the primary characters who aren't just like some guy in armor who dies in a fight. So we have Griffith, Casca, who is the female lieutenant. She eventually falls in love with Guts. Rickert, Gascon, Pippin, Corcus, Dante, Errol, Rigel, Delos, Sam, and Kim. So these are all people who
Pippin and Sam.
Both, I was just saying the same thing. Yeah. Pippin and Sam.
Yeah, they made it,
and they got a Helm's Deep and everything too, right?
Yeah, half the Hobbit here.
At some point, the Band of the Hawk came across a young, aggressive man named Guts.
They got a Guts Deep, actually.
During a siege, he challenged a knight, possibly but not actually, called Big Dick Bazuso, impressing Griffith.
Is it canon? You do this, Pete, where you write jokes into your script and I can't tell.
I know.
In the manga, was he actually called Big Dick Bazuzu?
No, or whatever that was. His name is Bazuso, but there is an ancient, like, wrestler meme that I hope people have seen, where they do like a WWE narration over when he is introduced. Also, Bazuso looks like Siegmeier and Siegfried of Katarina. He's the Onion Knight.
Okay.
In the manga and in the anime. But it's just like, oh no, who is it? Big Dick Bazuso! Like, he does his own, like, narration. The character's name is Bazuso. I'm sorry, sometimes I do get too deep in my own memes when I'm writing.
When you're jerking off writing the script to your own fucking joke there.
Yeah, impregnable. They're gonna love this.
I mean, that was a good one.
He's trying to impregnate his keyboard when he's writing that one.
Yeah. Guts at this point is a teenager. He's very skinny, kind of like, he's aggressive. He's very fighty. But he fights with an oversized sword. Eventually, he becomes known as the Black Swordsman. The sword that is in the Souls games, the actual reference, like the big one that just looks like a pointy board of iron, basically, is one he gets later on in the story. At this point, he's using a regular, like, claymore that is, like, slung over his shoulder and goes down as far as, like, his heels, basically. It's, like, the length of his entire body.
What's older, the this manga or FF7, the Buster Sword?
Must be a manga. It's got to be the manga, because the anime adaptation was in 1997.
Okay, then yeah, would be. 1990 was volume one of Berserk.
There you go. Wow.
90 and 96. Oh, no, wait. He wrote a lot of these. 41 volumes.
There's tons. Tons and tons and tons. And it kept going, like, the plot just continued to develop, and, like, the stakes would change or get raised or whatever. It's very cool. Even the end of the anime on YouTube is a cliffhanger, sadly. But it's still, like, fucking cool, because there is, like, a straight plot line between, you know, let's recruit this guy fighting Big Dick Bazuso, and, oh god, no, the blood sacrifice to the demons is happening. Yeah. And it's just like, oh yeah, I mean, this is the perfect sense. Like, perfect plot. Structure, yep. I guess. Yeah. Guts' story begins pretty miserably. Like we were saying earlier, like, this is very Game of Thrones-y, or Game of Thrones, I guess, is all very Berserk-y, in which is just like the medieval Europe is the most miserable fucking place on the planet. Guts's mother was hanged while pregnant with him for an unknown crime, but like still gave birth to him as she was dying. So he was born just like straight down onto the ground, and then a passing group of mercenaries found and rescued him and then brought him into the band. He was,
I think, a random passing band of mercenaries has what it takes to take care of a newborn. You know what I mean?
Probably not. It takes a village, you know? So maybe it takes a village. Maybe all of them together could raise a newborn.
Yeah. The very appropriately named leader of these mercenaries, Gambino, took him in. And there was a woman in the mercenary company as well named Shizu, who helped raise him. So they at least had... Oh. It was at least a two-parent mercenary.
They named
band.
The kid Childish Gambino, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
I think they probably named him Guts because of the way he was.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's right. Pretty obvious. Yeah.
You think that was like a reverse thing? He wanted to name him Guts and just thought of like the worst way like a kid would get that name.
Ew.
Maybe.
He's also brave, right? Like he's gutsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Gutsman and Mega Man is the Battle Networkers a few episodes ago. He was a really big and tough and meaty man that uses strength over everything else. And it sounds like Guts might be the same kind of character, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's very aggressive. He's quick to be enraged, but is also gutsy and brave in the fact that, like, again, they like lead an assault on the Tower of Rebirth to rescue Griffith towards the end there. And it's basically like him and five other people. So he's very... Guts in every sense of the word, basically.
Cool.
Right, like much of the rest of this, the following gets very brutal. When Guts was three, Sisu died of plague while holding his hand. And this kind of put the idea that Guts was a bad omen into Gambino's head, because things started going wrong fairly quickly there. Yeah, I guess knowing the way the plot turned out, you know, Guts might just be the most unfortunate man in Midland, honestly, because like everything fucking goes wrong for him all the time. like his best friend ends up like sacrificing everybody to demons. It's like, ah, man, it's just, I just can't win. What is this?
Oh, I'm so gutsy. Not again.
Yeah, aw shucks is his catchphrase. I don't know if that's a mistranslation from the original Japanese. At some point, I guess short on cash, Gambino, actually sold Guts to another man as a sex slave briefly. This man was named Donovan. During a battle, Guts took revenge on Donovan, like secretly. It's like a little bit of secret friendly fire, basically, to get revenge on being sold to him. And during the same battle, Gambino's leg was blown off by a cannonball. This kind of like broke his mind a bit, because like, again, more bad luck, more bad things. But in this case, I mean, he did bring this on himself. And then at some point, Gambino tries to kill Guts. And in self-defense, Guts ends up killing Gambino and leaving that mercenary company.
Right.
Donovan had already revealed that he'd paid Gambino for the right to sneak into Guts' tent. So obviously, Guts like knew what was going on when he came in there. He revealed the entire plan to him. And before meeting Griffith and the Band of the Hawk, Guts was working as a slave in like some kind of market, but at some point was hurt, and then this is kind of where the supernatural element starts.
Working as a slave is a
I know. I got stuck on that one too. Yeah. he got good employment as a slave.
So Guts was a slave, and at some point was hurt and kind of raised back to health by a little supernatural like pixie girl, which has the it's the last picture. Her name is Chich, C-H-I-C-H.
Wait, what's the third picture?
Chich.
Oh, sorry.
Griffith. It's Griffith, right? The third picture?
Yeah, I forgot to. You pulled up a picture of Griffith.
Oh, so my God. Oh, guys, it's really funny. The like preview on my side makes Chich look like she has big floppy boob.
Yeah, I mean, it really does.
Oh, yeah, she does have, like, a little sundress, which is, like, leaves.
She's got leaves for boobs, big leaves for boobs, but she's also a child, so it's weird.
Yeah.
It's anime, dude. The leaves are, it looks more like a skirt than an actual boob, like, with the full picture, I feel like.
Strapless dress, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chich, using her magical powers, nursed Guts back to health at one point. And at one point she ended up, she just like leaves existence. Like the spirits in this don't like die per se, I guess. They like cease to be. All the little flower petals on her head like drift away and create a like beautiful field of flowers. Guts eventually took her physical body Because she didn't like evaporate or anything. He took her physical body and finally lays her to rest in this field of flowers that she'd grown. And then the rest of it really picks up in the manga and in the anime. So that that was Berserk. I hope you guys look into it if you like this episode. I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. Thank you for 6 great years, everybody. We're still going. And you can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, or follow the link in the Discord in the description to get to the Discord. Follow the link in Discord
to get to the Discord to get a link to an episode. Find the description to get an invite link for the Discord.
Yeah. Yep. It's a treasure hunt. At the end, you end up on Pete's front step.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the Amazing Race. It's a little yellow ticket that I'll hand you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to help the show, you can just tell people you know about it. Recommend us to your friends. In your Discord, other Discord servers that you might be a part of, feel free to post episodes here and there. And leave us a review if you can. A good one, hopefully. As much as possible. Really, really helps the show. We don't pay to advertise. It's all organic growth, so it's all thanks to you guys that we've been doing this for 6 years. Holy moly.
Jeez, time flies. We could have gotten like 2 plumber's degrees by now, guys, instead of doing this.
You could be 2 plumbers.
You could be 2 plumbers at once.
instead of listening to us right now. There you go.
French roto-rooter, you're just like, God, this was so
Jimbo?
Yeah, just get in that Discord, discord.gg/loreboys. It's your best chance of getting direct contact to us, or even if you don't want to talk to us, if you're shy, you could kind of spy and lurk and see what we're talking about. You might get clues on like what we're playing or like things happening before they happen. You can see pet pictures, food pictures, talk about music, the movies we're talking about. Like basically, if you want to be involved even more with the show, it's the best way to get in there. And we have a wonderful community of people who like playing games.
Also, the best way to request episodes is in the Lore Request channel.
That's the only place I check these days whenever I'm looking for ideas. So your emails are great, and we will read them eventually when we do a mailbag. But the request channel, Lore Requests, is the best place to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have painted ourselves into a corner a little bit with the emails, where we try and save them for mailbags, but then also some of you guys just want to get in touch with us faster than that. Yeah. But so we apologize if you've just been like waiting for a response to your email asking us to like move our car or something that's blocking you in. You can send us some emails with the million downloads and the 6 years and all the incredible support we've been getting from you guys recently. We do want to give back and do a stream relatively soon. Organizing is hard these days because I live far and I have a baby, so it's tricky for me. But we're working on it, or at least percolating that thought. Peter, is there anything going on in Instagram?
Nothing special. Send us messages. You can contact us on Instagram as well. Some people send some pretty good stuff. You can check out our photos. You can check out my comic when that's out.
For all the dads out there, Gren Parpt are just put a picture up of his freshly mowed lawn. Those are some nice lines, I gotta say.
That's a nice
line. My mom just got a new lawnmower, actually. It's got like drive. It'll like kind of inch forward on its own now, like an automatic car. I'm like, hell yeah, brother.
As long as you're holding down the bar, right? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't fuck around with it. She was just bragging about it when I went and saw her on Friday.
So thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/loreboys. We'll get, you know, access to the pictures we were talking about during the episode today, some of the visuals. You'll get, you know, the loser titles game, which is a fun one. You get some bonus audio. So you can go to patreon.com/loreboys if you want to check that out. Of course, we do have Loreboys Prime, where we give, you know, the people who don't trust Patreon, want to support us in other ways, ample opportunity. This week, we're giving you guys some fun free 420 weed facts.
Oh, hell yeah.
So if you're not a Loreboys Prime subscriber,
if you want to be on Loreboys Prime, it's as little as 1,200 Hungarian forints to join.
So send us your Hungarian forints. If you're not subscribed, if you haven't sent us your forints, then you have to stop listening right now. So you have to. Don't take your headphones off. Don't stop playing the episode, because we do want that play time. But just like wiggle your fingers underneath your headphones to block your ears.
Please.
And so I have the definition of loud for weed, as according to leafly.com.
Oh, okay.
This means, it means like dank, right? It's like good weed.
Yeah, so it's a slang term for high quality fragrant cannabis. Loud can also refer to the pungency of a bud's aroma. Quote, if it ain't loud, I ain't smoking it. End quote. Quote,
right.
These buds are too loud for me to burn in public. It'll reek. End quote.
Right.
Okay.
The opposite would be mids, I guess, or
no, the opposite. So we'll get to the opposite. Or so history of loud. Yeah. Mid is mid, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a great, that's a great way of putting it, James. So the bad history of loud, Midland. Mid is Midland. Yeah,
yeah.
Loud is a relatively new term for describing wheat. The origins of the term are unclear, although many point anecdotally to the Black community of Atlanta for coining the term, popularized by local rappers Gucci Mane, 2 Chainz, and their contemporaries. Oh. Loud has also been said to describe a powerful gun or flashy flamboyant clothing in the hip hop music scene since the mid 2000s. And began to refer to intense cannabis in a similar fashion. It's the opposite of terms such as boof or Reggie, which refer to low quality, poorly cultivated cannabis.
Reggie would be reg, like from reg, so regular, I guess, it, probably.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. I've heard reg being thrown around. And it's also a term when you work at McDonald's. I need 12 regs. That's the small patties that you get on a McDouble. Yeah, then there's another word for the quarter pounders. I forget the other ones. But
are they loud? I need some loud patties on the grill.
Those are mids. Those are mids.
Those are mids, yeah. The Angus is loud. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those are the louds, yeah, exactly.
Cool. Loud, man.
So if you haven't been listening, since I asked you to stop listening, you can start listening again. And I think that would constitute... Hey, lore boy.
Lore boy.
Loud.
Loud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.